Hi, everybody. We've been in a series called Put God First. And today is, I have a title for it. It's around here somewhere. It's, my God, where in the heck is it? What's it called? It's Your Choice. Where in the world did I put my note? Yes, one man band. Yeah. It's Your Choice. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read this scripture. And by the way, I can vouch for the fact that, as we said earlier, that, you know, when you bring, here's the deal. You can bring all your doubts, all your fears. You can bring this stuff to the Bible. You don't have to come to church fully believing everything. But here's why. When you bring your doubts to the Word of God, you walk away with faith. The Word of God in itself, the Bible, when you enter into it, if you're lacking love in your life and you open up to that and you come into the Bible, you walk away with love. If you come to the Bible and you really you're fearful and you need faith in your life, you walk away with faith in your life. If you're seeking the one who wrote it, are you there? So the Bible is like that. So God is more interested in actually confronting our doubts than defeating our enemies. Do you know why? Because He's already defeated our enemies. He's already done that. It's the doubts that don't allow the Lord to work. So He'd prefer to put you in a place where He can confront the doubt. That's why we come to the Word of God. So we're going to see that He's already provided the victory for us. Now, that was so good that somebody in here should have done something to respond to that. You're just, okay. When it goes in, go like this. Mm-hmm, yeah, all right. I got it. Oh, yeah, oh, baby. You know, whether it's something. You know. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy Chapter 30, starting with verse 11, going through 20. For this commandment I had commanded you today is not too hard. Everybody say, not too hard. For you, neither is it far off. Just say, it's not unattainable. It's not unattainable. Okay. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us to bring it to us, that we may hear it, to do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, go over to the sea. Go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear and do it. But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and death, life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, everybody say loving the Lord your God. So by walking in His ways, by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, then you shall live and multiply. You will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of it. But if your hearts turn away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you, you shall surely perish. And you shall not live long in the land that you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. So now verse 19 says it this way. It says, I call heaven to earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. Go ahead and say, choose life. Yeah. Tell the person next to you, you need to go ahead and start choosing life. Like, start today. Go ahead, start. If you haven't been choosing life, go ahead and make your decision today. Today's the day. I'm going to choose life today. Now you say, what in the world does that mean? Here you go. Therefore, choose life that your offspring may live. Look, choose life. You say, you want blessing to flow, not just stop with you, but your kids. Does anybody want their kids to be blessed? Amen. Choose life so that you and your offspring may live. And you can look, man, you can see where people have not chosen life and they've chosen death and the kids suffer. You can see it everywhere. Now he rearranges the words a little bit and he says this. He says, here's how you choose life. Loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him. For He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land of the Lord, swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. Before we do first fill in the blank, I want to tell you something. It was junior high. I had learned to play the trumpet starting in the fourth grade. And I don't know, I just... there was not a lot of support for sports or pretty much anything from my dad in our life. But I just got it in my... got this idea maybe you should go out for football. And So anyway, I think what they did to keep down the expenses for at football, they would keep the shoes from the previous years, and they just have them all in a pile, and you just go pick out your shoes. So I picked out these size 12 shoes and went off to football camp. I didn't put them on until I got there. Well, I put them on, but I didn't know they were going to do that to me because they were fitted to somebody else's feet. About the second or third day in, both feet were covered with blisters. And I called my dad up, and I wanted him to come and get me. But it was football camp, and it was several miles. You had to get on a bus and go to some other town. They take you away so you can't go home. So I'm bleeding. Walking dead. My feet are just... It was horrible. Horrible. And my dad wouldn't come get me. I think it was a wonderful decision. My dad didn't come and get me. He wanted me to stick it out, to tough it out. And I did. Everybody say, it's not too hard. How many of you know you're going to have a little blister here and there? Go ahead and say, it's not too hard. You're going to walk through some things sometimes. They're not going to be fun, but you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to heal. God's going to do stuff and help you. Most of the time when He gets you off over here, let me just say, everything that you've gained outside of Him will perish anyway. It'll turn into a heap of ashes. Everything you attain outside of Christ is just a heap of ashes. It's never going to be anything for you. It's not going to happen. But He will take the ashes and make something beautiful when you come back. All your burned out stuff, He'll make it better for you. He'll fix it up. So I got back and then bought an actual pair of shoes that fit me and had a wonderful year and stayed and stuck that out. But being the instrumental of the musician type, I said, I think I've had enough of football for 1 year. Get me my guitar. I got back in the marching band. We won third in the state, so that was good. Okay, let's look at point number one. Love the Lord your God. Our intimacy, the second word, our intimacy with God. Second word, priority. His highest priority for our lives determines the impact of our lives. Love the Lord your God. Our intimacy with God, His highest priority for our lives, determines the impact of our lives. How many of you understand this? Look at the point, little point right under there. The awareness of God's presence energizes us for our work. Isn't that true? How many have been just... Gone to work without the Lord's presence in your life and drudge through the day. Go to the Lord with. And tell the person next to you, you're actually wired for God's love. That's how you're wired. You're wired for God's love. When you don't receive God's love, you really don't fare well. And things that come to cut that off, things come to starve that out, that you end up going through life. And people, they try to find something. They try to find something to fill up that space. They turn to something. I've discovered that I'm an addict. I'm an addict for God's presence. I got to have a fix. But it's not a quick fix. It's a life-giving transformation. That when I come and drink from the river that He's put within me by the power of the Holy Spirit, when I love the Lord my God with my heart. Everybody say, look, with God it's always a heart condition. It's a condition of your heart. It's always about the condition of your heart when it comes to the Lord. It always has to do with it. You ever been working with... We always work with our... Like working with our little grandkids. It's like trying to get their heart with you. You know the difference when somebody comes in and their heart's with you? Makes the day different, doesn't it? When their heart's not with you, but the words are... They're not really there. They're there, but they're not there. They're there, but they're again you. They're there, but they got an agenda. And it really takes away from the real atmosphere of the unity of the spirit that we have together when we work together, when we do what we do together. Doesn't mean that a person can't be low. Everybody needs some help. Amen? Heather and I have an agreement because she's more of a contemplating, can tend into being moody. You know people like that? If she was here, she'd said, yep. And we came into agreement. It's kind of funny, but if I get moody and she gets moody, it's like flushing the toilet and just watching everything run down. She said, you can't get moody. I depend on you. You got to be uplifting. That's your God, your job in this relationship. If you get moody, I can't get you out. You got to be the up one. I mean, we know that that's covenantal help right there. So even when I don't know it's going to turn out, I think it is. Because I can't afford to flush. It'll all go down. Circling, waiting for... Oh, this is terrible. Using the toilet as a imagery. That's hilarious stuff. Everybody say, love the Lord your God. How many of you buy that first point? How many of you realize that's real? That your intimacy is really does determine the impact of our life. You know, when you're walking with the Lord and you don't have the intimacy with God, when you don't cultivate that, here's kind of how I've heard it said before. I've heard it said this way. You missed being with God one day and you feel it. 2 days and your spouse feels it. 3 days and the world knows. So walking with the Lord is very, is that right? Walking with the Lord is really important, and being and drawing upon His life and living His, and look, I'm just talking to the people. This is why, to me, it's important to love the Lord your God. Because Jesus is coming back. And He's not looking. He is not looking for a bride with semen on her dress. He is not looking for someone who just threw up because they can't control their appetites. He is looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle. It's amazing how people will put all their efforts into something to attain some earthly goal. And when it comes to spiritual reality, they just act like it doesn't matter. That's foolishness. We should attain by pursuing the Lord and wanting Him more than life. But the hell will come up and throw you a little trinket. Here, dazzle you with some little... Here, you can get a bigger paycheck over here if you sell out and they'll have any integrity. When people go, I want the money. Next thing you know, they're in a work of hell. I get a little wound up on occasion because the Lord is saying to me, do you love me more than anything? There are people in the world right now, they're going door to door. Another religion is going door to door. And they're threatening the little kids. And if they telling them to turn to their religion and not love Jesus. And then they cut their heads off. And they go right in the presence of Jesus. How about that? And these are the days where you surely can't make up your... You got to choose. Am I going to choose life or am I going to choose death? Everybody say, love the Lord your God. That's number one. Love the Lord your God. And don't be one of those people that practices sin in secret and plays Christianity out in public. Don't be one of those people. Be one of those people. If you're going to do anything in private, repent a lot. Go into your prayer closet and repent and talk to the Lord and work it out. Hey, I got stuff on me. But I'm telling you, it's amazing. The Lord threw us in way over our head. We're doing this thing way over our head. And I realized whatever sin had luster to, whatever it attracted me, it is boring as snot. I want what God has. I'm blown away by the change in my own heart. It's like, good night. What a waste of everything. Dear Lord, I love Jesus and I want what He wants. And there's a price tag on it. Don't you want to be with people that will pay the cost? Go the distance. And it's really amazing. How many of you needed a whole lot of forgiveness? How many like thrive on it? How many are so glad God gave you the capacity to be a repenting person? Billy Graham years ago said, this, why, Billy Graham, do you feel like you've made it in your ministry and stuff? He goes, well, I think I'm probably a better repenter than most. that's his deal. He's able to come to God and allow Him to work in his life and change him. And not get hung up. Not let his pride fool him. Amen? All right, let's go to number two. Number two is obeying God's voice is essential to walking with Him. Obeying God's voice is essential to walking with Him. Up in verse 16, the second part says, by loving the Lord your God, walking in His ways, by keeping His commandments. Then later in verse 20 it says, you choose life by loving the Lord your God. Those are the same. Then it says, obeying His voice. And so that correlates with walking in His ways. Obeying His voice is essential to walking in His ways. And then the last one, which we'll get to, the next one. But I felt drawn to this passage for us today to illustrate this. In Luke 6, I want to talk about this for a minute. Luke 6, verses 6 through 11, I want to walk through this with you. On another Sabbath, He entered the synagogue and was teaching. And a man there was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched Him to see whether He would heal on the Sabbath. They're looking at Jesus so they might find a reason to accuse Him. But He knew their thoughts, and He said to the man with the withered hand, come, stand here. And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or destroy it? He kind of calls them out on it. And after, don't you be fun to be around Jesus, right? And just be around those religious kooks that Jesus kind of straightens out. Just like, what's it lawful to do? Is it lawful to destroy on the Sabbath or do good on the Sabbath? And it has the man standing with the withered hand right in front of all of them. Right there. He says to the man, stretch out your hand. The Bible tells us that this guy's identity was wrapped up in the fact that he was the man with the withered hand. What's your identity wrapped up in? What weakness are you labeled with? What is the thing that you're not good at that people identify as you as that guy? What is your weakness? What is your dysfunction that's held you back in life? Are you there? What is the thing that you don't do well? Now, if you're around here any length of time, you won't be identified by what's wrong with you. And the Lord says to this man, stretch out your hand. How many of you have had to make up your mind? You got to stretch. If you obey, let me just say this. When Jesus spoke to him, it was going to be good for him. How many of you had the Lord say something to you and starts putting you on the stretch? And you're intimidated by the stretch. Because look, it's always your choice. I know a fella that came to the Lord. He had fallen off of a ladder years ago and had a disability check from the government. And he was in a prayer time, and the Lord's Spirit was moving, and he wanted to be healed. And he realized that if he got healed, he wouldn't get his check. And he said, I'm not going. And he suffered for years and years and years going back into the hospital, readjusting it, doing everything, years and years, because the stretch was, I'm going to heal you and you won't need that check. But he wouldn't get healed because his identity was wrapped up in, I have a disability and I get paid for it. I wonder what the man with the withered hand is like. Hey, maybe people held open doors for him. Maybe there's benefits to what's being something being wrong with you. And maybe I can work it and get further along with it. But this man was standing in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus said, stretch out your hand. And I'm here to say today to you, what area of your life is God saying, stretch out? Stretch out that part of your life. I'm going to work in your life. I bet you over and over and over he tried. I bet you laid in bed at night going, I wish I had a better hand. In their dreams, what it's going to be like when this isn't the way it is anymore. What will my life be like
without this infirmity? What will my life be like without this dysfunction? What will it be like if I don't have this in the way anymore? What would that be like if I'm not hung up on this or given to that? What will it be like? And the Lord says, stretch out your life to me. Stretch it out.
And then what happens is, how many of you have been stretching some things out before the Lord? And the healing is, this guy stretched out his hand, and his hand became healthy like the other hand, right in front of everybody. And then those people representing the devil in the name of religion decided they would go out and figure out a way to trap Jesus and have him crucified. And every miracle seemed to add insult to them. I'm going to say, I know, and you know this too, we'll get this to the next point as well, but I'll just cover a little bit of it now. How many of you have had God touch your inner area of your life and you change and then hell comes back around? See, if you want to stay healed, stay saved in that area of your life. Praise the Lord. If you don't go through the process to get it, then you don't have the power to keep it. If you don't go through the stretching process to lay hold of what God has for you, you'll never have the power to walk in what He has for you. There's no shortcuts. So when you stretch and you go for it, because God wants to take what's broken in your life and He wants to use it for His glory. How many of you figured that out? When you obey the Lord, when you obey His voice, when you're broken, everything begins to be healed according to what He has spoken to your life. How are we doing in here? I'm going to interject something here. It's not in my notes. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1, chapter 1, this is 1 through 4. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And it says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And then the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. When He said, let there be light, He said, now that's good. And then God did something extraordinary. He separated the light from the dark. He separated it. He spoke, and then He separated it. He spoke, and then He separated it. He spoke, and then He separated. And when God speaks to you, He's separating what's dark out of your life and putting you into the realm of light. When you obey His voice, He speaks and you move out of darkness and you move into light. He separates it. He separates you out of it. How many of you can walk right in the middle of all that darkness and you're separated from it and you bring the light in? Because you're separated from it because He's spoken to you. And light is good, He says. And I separate the... How many of you know that when you're created, He says, there's a new creation. What is that new creation? There's light in there. How many of you give God the time and find out what pleases Him? That means you love the light. That means you love the light. And when He speaks into your heart and you lay hold of it, how many of you had this happen? He speaks in your heart and then the war is on. And hell doesn't want that in your life. And you've got to struggle and you go, what was it the Lord said? And I lay hold of it now. Before, I'd have these little moments with the Lord and then forget it. Are you nuts? How many of you know you forget that stuff? And it's, He says, lay hold of it. Say it over and over. Speak it in your heart. Get it down. Make it give root. It'll transform your life. Don't let hell get it. Right? When the Lord wants to separate something out, it doesn't have its power over you anymore. It can't control you anymore. I could get the microphone and just have testimonies of things people in this room have walked out of that have no effect on them anymore. Because you've been walking in the light. And you can encourage somebody, hey, I had that, but I'm further along now. I don't walk in that anymore. Hallelujah. Help the preacher just a little. Amen. Or number three, and we're almost done here. Number three, hold fast to Him and He will keep you. Hold fast to Him and He will keep you. Hold fast to Him and He will keep you. And this is real simple. I just thought it was amazing when it says in the first one, love the Lord your God. Walk in His ways. Keep His commandments. And then the next one says, love the Lord your God. Obey His voice. Hold fast to Him. Hold fast. How many of you really, really like me, you're really just not all that good at keeping His commandments very well. But I've discovered if I hold fast to Him, it seems to work out a whole lot better. When I'm holding fast to Him, I have never been able to walk with the Lord in my own strength. It's just not working out too well. And then you read these verses like, I'll be there for you. I'll be your strength in your weakness. And you go, it really is about me acknowledging how weak I am in front of you, isn't it? Have you figured that out? I mean, you put up your best foot forward. I'm going to go forth and I'm going to hate sin and I'm going to really defeat the devil and I'm going to really do this. And you come home that day and you did everything you wish you wouldn't have. And the Lord says, I don't want you to do it for me. I want to do it through you. I want to do it in you. That's why I say, love me. Listen to my voice. Let's make this thing an enjoyable time. Victory can come as an enjoyment. Is that right? Look, for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. I don't think I would, if I didn't have some joy in this, I don't think, you kids can't keep enduring if there's no joy. You got to have joy. Verse 90, it's right under on your paper. Let's read it. Read it with me. Because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver Him. I will protect Him. Because He knows my name. Let's read it again. Because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver Him. I will protect Him because He knows my name. Psalm 91:14. The Lord is saying to us, look, I will keep you. You hold fast to me. You cling to me. I'll keep a hold of you. This next verse says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him firm in faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. One of the biggest lies is people feel like they're going through everything they're going through all by themselves. Nobody else, nobody else. That's not true. Everybody's going through the same thing. Everybody's going through the same things. And there's seasons of God's dealing in our life. Jesus, we looked at last week when Jesus was coming out of the wilderness temptation. When He came out of the temptation of the wilderness, it says, the very end there, it says, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. An opportune time. An opportune time. Satan's looking for an opportunity. Now he has a close relationship with Peter and James and John. And he's saying to Peter and telling the disciples, I have to go and suffer and be raised on the third day. Suffer in the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees and be raised on the third day. And now his closest friend says, no. And isn't it weird? Isn't it amazing that sometimes your closest friend is the problem? That your closest friends can actually not hear the voice of God and be in agreement with you? And Jesus had to actually turn, and that was one of those opportune times when Jesus had to turn. Here's a vulnerability because it's a friendship. How many of you know there's weakness to you when somebody, your friend, tries to convince you about something that you know you got to go through, but they don't think you should, but you got to go through it. You need someone standing with you in agreement, right? And he looks right at him and says, get behind me, Satan. Now, I believe that day, Peter's face turned white. Because to be called Satan, you know, one minute he's saying, Peter, the Spirit of God has revealed this to you. And the next minute he's going, that's not supposed to happen. How is he going to be the Christ if he doesn't suffer and die? And the same person that was open for revelation was against the way God was going to do it. That's amazing to me. And it doesn't always work out the way you think. You just got to go through it. You got to walk through it. There's an opportune time. Some of you are walking through life right now and you're further along than you've ever been in Christ. And the Lord's saying, we're leaving, and this is what happened to me, we're leaving your comfort zone of this area. How many of you know sin can be comfortable? Is it right? There are certain things you turn to and those are your comforts. The Lord says, no, I want to change this. I want me to become your comfort. I want me to be the refuge. I want you to hold fast to me. I will be the one who delivers you. Let's all just lift our heads to the Lord right now and just tell him, I want you to be the one who delivers me. I don't want to deliver myself anymore through my means. I'm opening to you, Lord. I'm opening to you even today. I'm praying these things today because I know that there's a moment in your heart where there's like, hey, I want to love the Lord more than I ever have. These are the days where you and I need that. We need to make that deliberation in our heart and to say, I will obey your voice, Lord. I will seek out your voice and hear you and respond to you. And I just want to deliver you from thinking that you don't hear God's voice. Here, you ready? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You're probably just not good at obeying it. But the Lord's voice comes with such love that when he whispers to you, it's almost unimaginable. Because he's so kind and so gracious, doubt rushes in because it couldn't be in God because it promoted something on the inside of me that made me feel better about myself. Often God's voice will promote something on the inside of you that makes you feel better about yourself. And it's not pride, it's not ego. You need to just realize God loves you more than you do. And he cares about you in such a way that he wants you to realize how valuable you are to him. And when you realize how valuable you are to him, it starts to change you. And you start to receive things from him. And it conditions your heart to have an atmosphere of openness to him. Because now you're not slamming yourself with the negative words that the devil has thrown at you all your life. That the sweet words of the Spirit are beginning to come inside. And they change you and they cause you to want to rise up. And the things that encourage you now that he says cause you to want to live in a way that you never have been able to before. That's Jesus. That's how he does it. You don't always have to cling to him out of suffering, but the Lord says, come and hang out with me and be mine. Let's praise him just a little bit and just pray. Let me call you to create an environment in your life right now where you hear the Lord more than you ever have. I want to ask you as a church to create an environment in your life where you hear, don't be in the world so much that you can't hear God. Go ahead and shut that stuff out and create an environment in your life where you can actually hear him, where you can respond to him more. The Lord will always confront something that holds back your best. He will always confront something that holds you back from his highest purpose in your life. The Lord has a loving plan and purpose for you. And it happens when you become in those moments of walking with him, responding to him. You'll step out and you go, I can't believe I'm here. And the Lord says, isn't this wonderful? And you say, yes, but I'm scared, spitless. Go ahead and keep walking. Keep walking. The fear will leave. It'll dissipate out of your life. The doubts will be removed. The Word of God will take root and grow in you, and you will move past what you were able to do before. This is a season that the Lord is calling His church to walk past being of the world's mindset. Let me just go ahead and tell you, carnal people always use the grace of God as an excuse for sin. But consecrated people use the grace of God to change. To change, to become what God has called you to be. Yes, there's a cost on it. Yes, it means leaving things behind that do you no good. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our heads to the Lord. I know that when you're walking along in life, you know, it's really to me, I offer the opportunity for people to make a commitment of their life to Jesus. Jesus said this way, what matters? You know, you gain the whole world and lose your own soul. There are billionaires out there today that they have it now. Jesus said, woe to you rich, you have your consolation now. You've got it now. But eternity, this is just a drop in the bucket, folks. We're here and gone in a moment. A vapor. Just a vapor. We're gone. Blinking of an eye and you're gone. You're not even promised tomorrow. But the offer of life stands at the door knocking and he says, I'm walking this way. You come and join me. And when you stand before me, my purpose will be revealed in your life, and you can walk that out and not be trapped in the sins and trapped in the bondage of your life, past life. I'll liberate you, and not only on the earth, but I'll liberate you so you live forever with me. And that's the part about bringing everything under the Lordship of Jesus. It's always making you better. If that's you today, you say, Lord, I want my life to be better. I want to submit to the absolute Lordship of Jesus. That's why these people are up here. We want to pray for that. And you can walk out of here and still just walk into your life the way it has been, and maybe live out in fears and all kinds of brokenness. But the Lord loves you, and He doesn't want you broken. He doesn't want you bound anymore. He doesn't want you all. He wants you to know His love for you. And that's what we're about. We're about seeing that imparted in people's lives through His presence and His word and His person. Let's lift our heads to the Lord and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I give all of that I am to you. And I desire you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins, washing me clean, giving me new mercies to live in every day. It is my choice to walk with Jesus, to love you with all my heart, to seek and obey your voice, and to hold fast to you in the name of Jesus. Now let's stand together if you wouldn't mind. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.